something I'm going to share briefly before Pastor Brian comes up. And there's some things going on for Valentine's Day. We'll let you know next week more about that. Amen? Praise God. So I'm glad you're here. I need some glasses. All right, I want everybody to lift up their hand right now and say, Jesus, thank you that you are my healer. I believe I received healing that I needed today. And I thank you now that as the word, we look to the word, that you will put seed in my heart that will grow 30, 60, and 100 fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we could go home now and be very blessed. Amen. We had good worship, good word. But I have something to share with you. Galatians 6:7 says, whatever a man sows, this he shall also reap. Right? We sow finances, we get blessed. We sow love, we get blessed. We sow gifts, we get gifts. Right? It's a principle in the earth. Have you ever thought that if you sow prayer, you get prayer? The Bible says, pray one for another that you may be healed. So I want you to remember that. Sometimes when you need prayer, you need to go pray for somebody else. Right? How many of you have ever done that and it works? Yes. To get our mind off of ourselves. But also because the earth today needs so much prayer. Yes? Would you agree? All right. Well, something happened supernatural to me on Tuesday. And praise God, when you live for Jesus, lots of supernatural things happen. But it was stronger than I've ever had happen before. And Tuesday night, Jessica and Brian and I watched a movie called Caged No More. It's on PureFlix. If you don't get PureFlix, it's awesome. Christian movies. Has anybody else seen Caged No More, that movie? Okay, a couple people. Well, at the end of the movie, it's about fighting and rescuing women and sex trafficking. I've watched lots of those movies. I've watched Nefarious many times, but at the end of this movie, I just began to weep and weep. I mean, I can cry at a movie really easily, but this was different. And as I just began to weep, I'm going to tell you what happened, but first I want to tell you, today, as we stand here in church, there are 30 million, say that with me, 30 million people in the world today in slavery. Most of it is sex trafficking. 1.2 children are in slavery. A lot of it is labor slavery also. In Asia, there's many places where if a family gets in debt, they take their children and force them to make bricks. Maybe they only owe $50, but they don't accept it until they actually give them the whole $50. They won't accept a dollar here and $5 here. And so there's horrible, both labor trafficking and sex trafficking. And we've talked about it a lot at this church for like 5 years or more, ever since we've supported Mark and Lenny. Several of us have gone to Fiji and ministered there, which is always awesome. There's lots of awesome ministries out there. There's A21 that literally rescues people every day somewhere. They started in Greece somewhere, and I'm friends with Christine Kane on Instagram, and she'll say, 3 were rescued in Iran today. You know, the next day, 3 were rescued in Greece. I mean, God is doing awesome things. Joyce Meyer's ministries, lots of ministry support. International Justice Mission. There's an awesome ministry that I found out on Facebook by Pittsburgh Steelers coach. And he told all of his football team about it. And they support this ministry of ex-Navy SEALs that are going in and rescuing women. I'm telling you, that excites me. That's what we've got to have. We've got to have our police forces, our army. We need the National Guard to go in and grab those girls and show those men they cannot abuse women anymore. I'm telling you, we've got to do our part. So Tuesday night, I'm weeping, and I go upstairs, and I get on my rocking chair, and I get on the floor, and I begin to weep, and it wasn't a normal weep, and the Holy Ghost came on me and rose up inside of me, and I was praying in the Holy Ghost loudly, and I'm telling you, it wasn't like normal. And you know what? I believe with all my heart, somebody was rescued somewhere. that day, because we're living in the day, and Pallery's been telling me this, that God wants to take me, and I'm willing. I want to go into the jail cells of Cambodia. I want to pray in tongues, and I want to have those gates unlocked like they were when Peter was in jail. I want little girls to be free. No 5-year-old girl should be forced to have sex. I'm telling you, we as the body of Christ in America have got to do something. We have got to. You know what? I can't go beat up some pimp. I'd like to. All right? Oh, would I like to? Whoa. And I have to guard my heart, because I tell you, I do not like them. But Jesus died for them. Now, this is what. I watched that movie because the guy in the movie, it's a great movie, was an ex-army guy. And I thought, I went upstairs and I cried and cried and cried. And the Holy Ghost was strong in me. And I just cried out, God, what can I do? What can I do? You know, I want to go walk the streets in Greeley because it goes on in our city. But what am I going to do? What do you do? And so as I was crying, and today, by the way, this afternoon, Jessica is at my sister's house doing a fundraiser for Homes of Hope. So everybody pray for 5:00 today. They're doing in Seattle, they're doing a fundraiser for Homes of Hope because they are doing a great job. So as I was crying out for God, what can I do? Because when I walked the streets of Thailand in 2012, God told me he was going to allow me to rescue one girl in my lifetime. And I want that one girl. And I'll invite her into my home if I want. But I want, if every Christian could rescue one girl, we could get 30 million people set free. But how do we do that? How do we do that? God gave me what we can do. And this came from God. It wasn't my idea. He said, we need to take Wednesdays, which is a church day. When we were growing up, you didn't have basketball or school on Wednesday nights. It was church day. We need to take Wednesdays. Now, see, we have prayer here at Tuesday and Thursdays, noon to 1, which are awesome. So I'm not asking you to come to another prayer meeting. But we need to make Wednesday, and I'm going to put this all over social media. I mean, this is what God told me to do. I'm going to put it over. Wednesday is the day of prayer to set the captives free. Right. Amen? Amen. And so when God told me that, I thought, I see it. I see it. If we can get Christians all over praying one day, now not all day, praying on that day, we are going to see people set free. We are going to see policemen not be corrupt. They're not going to break in to rescue a woman and then abuse them themselves. They've done that. No, we need righteous men with big muscles to go in and rescue these women. Amen? I mean, seriously. They do. They need to drag those pimps and throw them in jail. Now, that's got to happen, you guys. It's got to happen or it's not going to stop. We've got to have justice. So I'm asking you, because we're your pastors. God tells me to do something. Guess what? You get to help. Amen? And you know, this is the number one thing on my heart, right? And today, when we were reading this book at 9:30, and we were reading what's on God's heart, what's on God's heart? You know what? I pray for things sometimes that are very unimportant, and God cares. God cares about our life. God cares. But I'm telling you, it's on God's heart for these little girls to get free. It's on God. And little boys, no man should be in slavery. Amen? And I've been reading this book about a little boy that got taken to heaven, and he met Abraham Lincoln. And he met Abraham Lincoln's angel, and it was awesome. And he told his mom, Abraham Lincoln is a big deal in heaven because he set people free, because God does not want anyone to be enslaved, and God wants people to be seen as equal. And this little boy said, it's a big deal to God. Amen. So what I'm going to ask you to do is not hard. I've got a sign-up sheet, and we're not going to come to the church, but I'm asking you to give 15 minutes every Wednesday. I mean, we're starting small. Who doesn't have 15 minutes on a Wednesday, right? 15 minutes that you will pray for God to open the doors, open the jail cells so people can be set free. You can pray for governments. When I was in Thailand, this guy told me they can't get there's prostitutes all over because all the governing officials use them. You know, we got to pray for governments, right? And then you got to pray that Jesus reveals himself to people that are enslaved to know that they can be set free. Now, here's the awesome part. Two things happen. God will anoint you like he did me. It was I couldn't go to sleep that night. He was so huge in my heart. It was the most incredible experience, only because I was willing to get on my knees and cry and weep for those in bondage. And when you hit the heart of God, you get ready to be blessed. Okay, you can't outgive God. And you just say, I'm going to start with 15 minutes, and it may be an hour. So I have a sign-up sheet. And can we pass it around? And I couldn't do every 15 minutes. Because here's the thing. I'm asking you to give 15 minutes where you're only praying for that. You know, don't pray for a new car, whatever. You're given 15 minutes. I mean, that's okay. Do that after your 15 minutes. But we're making a commitment. This is what we can do. This is what we can do to help. And so I just put, I will pray 15 minutes between 5 and 6 a.m. That's Tammy because she does that. Okay? Or between 7 or 8 or somebody at midnight or the night hours. That's when pastor prays. But if you say, I have a weird schedule. Sometimes I work. Then I have over here, I don't know what time, but I will pray on Wednesdays. And so Victory Christian Fellowship is taking Wednesdays, and we're going to call that captives are free. Amen. We are going to believe. And you know what is the glorious part? When we all get to heaven, we're going to meet people that are going to come up and say, I know you prayed for me on Wednesday, and I'm here because of it. Amen. God records everything you do. All right. Is that okay? Is that okay? And you may say, I'm the one in bondage. Well, make sure you tell us so we can help you get free. And second, you're going to sow. You're going to sow your prayers and help somebody else get free so you can have your freedom. Okay? So I'm gonna give this to Preston first, and then you pass it around. And you know what? If we need more paper, we'll get more paper. But I do want to end with this last thing. I'm going to put it on Facebook. I'm going to ask other people to commit. And then if you say, I want to do that, and you write it down, don't forget. And I'll remind you, okay, because we don't want to make a commitment to God and then go, I'm just not feeling it today, right? Now, and then this is my last thing. Next week, I'm going to have some handouts for you that can give you ministries to support, that can give you guidelines of what to pray, that, you know, and other things like that. And the last thing I'll say is, if you speak in tongues, that's one of the best things you can do, because then God can take your prayer language and transcend halfway around the globe and set somebody else free. Amen. All right, let's close in prayer. Father God, before Brian comes, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this church. I thank you, Father, that we want to make a difference. And Father, we know that these people in bondage are on your heart. And so, Father, I pray grace. I ask for grace on every person here as they sign up, that on Wednesday they will say, yes, I will give 15 minutes so that people can be free. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Amen.
Like this one, it was just remarkable. So I'm really Glory to God. We're going to talk about one of the most remarkable things. Well, this is what this book has for a portion of their front cover. Dr. Ed, and I don't know if this is Eben or Evan. I don't know. It's an odd name. Dr. Evan Alexander's near-death experience is the most astounding I have heard in more than 4 decades. That's 40 years. 40 years of studying this phenomenon. He is living proof of an afterlife.
Amen.
Amen. This book came into my possession a very unique way, and I better not say that. Whenever God tells me, all right, I want you to talk about this, and if it's something that I don't have a lot of resources on, He is great to lead me to it. So He told me, He said, I want you to talk about heaven. I want you to get people to understand that they need to have a concept of how absolutely astonishing they're going to find heaven to be. Because He, God, gave us a little taste of life with Him on this planet. But when we get there, it'll be breathtaking. Amen. And just knowing that you're going to get to be rich and have a house that you could never dream of.
Amen.
And if you want to live at the guy's house across the way, you can, and he'll be glad to have you there. The inheritance belongs to everybody. Everybody. A man that had been in heaven for 40 days said that as he was getting close to the throne of God, it's a long walk, amen, from where you are in paradise. You have to go through the gates. You have to and you have to walk to the city. It's a long ways away from any place where the gates are. So you got a lot of time to talk to a lot of people on your way to the throne. But as they got close to the throne, this particular incident happened. This man, Seneca Sota, I talked to you about him last week. He said he was starting to look at these absolutely, we don't have any words to say it. Just such phenomenally beautiful mansions. And he said these were the only ones that I saw that had names on the house. And so they saw the name, and it was Jonah. And he said, can I go talk to Jonah? King David was driving him around in his chariot. So he said, sure, he'll be glad to talk to you, and I have something else I'll go do real quickly and come back and get you. And so he walked into Jonah's house. Jonah told him all about the whale and running from God and all that kind of stuff that happened in his life. And then after he left, Seneca said, you know, the people that are living close to the throne are there for a reason. Because they had to overcome a lot. Amen. They had to overcome a lot, and they did it. And he certainly did it. Amen. Out of the mouth of a whale into an opportunity to get an entire city and almost a nation saved is a remarkable thing to do. Because they were an enemy. They no doubt had killed lots of people that Jonah loved. And so, I don't know about you, but I'd be a little ticked off if God said, go get those guys saved. I go, no! What are you talking about? All right. So at any rate, when you think of heaven, I want you to know this. It is unimaginable. This guy that we're going to talk about today is he's a doctor, all right? So he is not just a doctor, he is a neurosurgeon, which means he's a brain doctor. So to get this resource, the Lord took Jocelyn and I on a dinner date to go to P.F. Chang's, and then when we got there, we had a wait in the line, so they said it's going to be about 30 minutes. So we went right across the street to see Jessica. She works at Barnes & Noble. So we went in there to see her, and as we were killing time, nothing more, nothing less. And so I walked over to the Christian Book Center. It's pretty close to where she was in the store, because it's a big store. And so I started looking at the Christian books that they had, and here is this book. After God told me, you need to teach about heaven. This says what? Somebody shout that out. What's that say?
Proof of heaven.
Only Marge can spit it out like that. Amen. Proof of heaven. You need to know that this doctor was a man that was a very, very successful surgeon. He was also a professor at the Harvard Medical School, which is, by all accounts, one of the best in the entire country. And so you have a guy that very, very much of his profession had a high, high degree of honor for him. So in November of 2008, when he started to get sick, he said, you need to know this. And this guy is a brilliant man. He studied the brain exclusively for 30 years. And he is a writer that uses words that you don't think of much. But bigger than anything else about this book is he doesn't look at it from a Christian perspective, because he wasn't a Christian. Okay, now his family had been to church, but he wasn't a Christian, and he wasn't for a specific reason. And this is something that you and I, as Christians, know if you've been around any kind of a church that talks about spiritual things. And sad to say, there are lots of churches that don't talk about spiritual things. Amen. They talk about a better way to live your life. Well, if you do that without Jesus, even though you go to church, it ain't going to work very well for you. Okay? Amen. So this guy has been very successful. He's not feeling too well. And so he is out to defeat this, whatever it is. So he came to the place that he said, I was getting worse day by day. And he said, doctors hate being sick. So I finally called my wife and said, I need you to send to get some kind of a medicine. That didn't do any good. And by the next day, he was in big, big trouble. He was having horrific pain in his body. And as he went into a coma on the way in the ambulance from a 911 call to the hospital that he worked in, he knew inside, he knew what was going on. He knew he was facing a bacteria, what they call bacterial meningitis. Okay? So bacterial meningitis is something that attacks your brain and does it in a way that it chooses what to attack. So your brain has lots of different spheres and parts that control different parts of your activities. And it can controls the part that makes you a person. Okay? So here's what the doctor said. He said, I know what happens in brains when bad stuff's coming in there. And I know that if it is a bacterial or viral kind of thing, I know what it's going to do. And he said, I didn't know which one it was, but it ended up being the E. coli virus. The E. coli virus is a major eater upper of the neocortex of the brain. The neocortex is nothing more than a film that goes all around the brain, and the neurons track around the brain on that cortex, that film. So they just go skating across the brain. Not really. There's millions of them, and they're faster than you can imagine. So at any rate, he went into a coma. And, of course, when he got to the hospital, everybody's going, this is Dr. Alexander, my gosh. So from the moment he got in there to the time that he came back from death,
yes,
they had absolutely tracked every single part of that week. It was 7 days this man was in a coma. Okay? He was brain dead in 3 days after he got to the hospital. And as he was laying there and he was gone, okay, his family did something that you and I need to understand. This is incredibly important, okay? His family was, again, they're a very bright group of people. And though they didn't have much understanding of spiritual things, they did understand that there was a God, okay? And, of course, it's all the girls. So the girls in the family are praying for him. And as he gets ready to leave his body, he said, as a neurosurgeon, he said, you all need to understand that death quit being connected to a stoppage of your heart 50 years ago when medicine and the medical profession learned how to resuscitate you by getting your heart beating again. Does that make sense? Okay? So your heart can not beat for several minutes, and they can still bring you back with machines, can't they? We all know that, don't we? Okay? There are machines out there that can keep you breathing and keep your heart beating. And you may not be in your body at all as a spirit being. God is a spirit. Jesus said that. God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What is spirit? You and I have nothing to describe it other than it's Casper the Ghost. TV and movies have done a great job of showing you somebody stepping out of their body and their light, okay? You can see through them, all that kind of stuff, and that's pretty close, okay? So, but this doctor, he had no, a scientist, you have to see it. You have to see that it's something that's permanent. You got to be able to touch it, man. Those things are important to scientists. So this guy said, I know. The whole medical services know that you're not dead until your brain's dead. That's when you're dead, because the brain is what makes you alive. And I'm reading this and I'm going, a Christian that's only been listening to spiritual things for a short time will know, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. I am a spirit. Everybody say it with me.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul. That's what the soul is, what we express, what's in our spirit. The soul is what we express that's in our spirit, and then we wear an earth suit called flesh. A flesh and bone body we have. Lots of other working parts as well, don't we? So when we understand we're a spirit being, and that the Bible says that we should have our mind set on the Spirit. We have our mind set on the Spirit. And I'll never forget Kenneth Hagin saying this, and I just went, chilled. Whoa. He said, your mind can think without your brain. Because we have the mind of who?
Christ.
Oh! Now, is this making sense a little bit?
Yes.
We don't have a brain like we have in this earthly body. We don't have a brain like that in the spiritual body. The spiritual body has a brain too.
Yes.
So, Kenneth Hagin, of all people, when he left his body as a 15-year-old boy and began to descend into hell, he knew he was not dead. He was simply out of his body. Okay? And as he was out of his body, he was thinking real hard and shouted out, God, I'm a church member. I read my Bible. I should not be going down.
Amen.
And his grandma and his mom were they're Texans, so this is the problem. Amen. They're Texan women, folks.
Yeah, I beg your pardon.
I'm not done with my talk yet. Okay. So those Texas women are praying so loud, people in the neighborhood started walking over to see if everything's okay. And as Kenneth, 15-year-old Kenneth, was going down to the gates of hell, when he got there and he saw those gates, a voice said 8 syllables, and up he went. Went right back up to outside of his grandpa's house where he was, and he went right through the walls of the house and went right into his body again. You are a spirit. You have a body. We call it death when we leave our body, and God calls it eternal life. Amen. Eternal life. But I want you to get this. This is a big deal. Kenneth Hagin was not a born again Christian. He was a church goer.
Yes. Amen.
I was a church goer for 28 years.
Yes.
And I hated every moment of it. I thought it was the most boring thing in the entire world, unless there was a Christmas program that I could get candy.
Amen.
Amen. And I liked that day. I loved it. And we had a great Santa Claus come in. But I mean, I was bored. I just didn't like it. None of it appealed to me at all. So I would have died in Monday Hill too, even though I went to church all my life.
Yeah.
But man, when you are nearing the gates of hell, Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, I knew that if I went through those doors, I would never come out.
Amen.
Never come out. And he did that three times in one day. On the third day, he came after he was sure that he wasn't going to get out that time. He started saying, God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. His mama and his grandma, I'm telling you, were praying through the fog in his mind so that he could understand, I need to get right with God at this point. How many think he's past the point you ought to get right with God?
Yeah.
I mean, don't wait till you're looking at the gates of hell and you don't know anybody that knows God, and then you think someone's going to pray you in? I'm sorry. It's very unlikely to happen. Amen? So at any rate, that's a big deal in Kenneth Hagin's accounts. And in this man's account, this is very interesting in this doctor's account. Here's what happened with him. Even though he was not a Christian, the last thing that he said that anybody heard in the hospital room, the last words were these, and he said it with a shout. He said, God, help me! Because God will respond to a three-word prayer if you are lost and you are on your way to hell.
Yay!
I want everybody to just lock onto this thought. God knows what hell is.
Yay.
God knows why he made it. He made it for the devil and his angels that rebelled against God. God lets men go to hell because they love the darkness more than the light.
Come on.
Okay? That's the problem.
Yes.
So what we've got to understand is God will do anything possible for him to give you an opportunity, even if you're just 10 feet away from the gates of hell, to pray you up out of there.
Yes.
And he'll move on people to pray.
Yes.
But so many times those people will say, yeah, I'll pray later, and it's too late.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay? We got to pray, especially when God tells us to.
Right.
We need to have a habit of prayer. Okay? So this particular man came. And this was really interesting, and it's pretty unique. But when most people that have written about accounts of coming out of their body and then coming back to be on planet Earth, they'll say they went into a dark tunnel, okay? Or they'll go into a place that you can walk to heaven. It's the highway of holiness I talked about last week. Okay, and people can walk to heaven, and they probably have a really fast elevator somewhere to get them up there, but I don't know. Okay, so nobody's seen an elevator, I'm sorry, but you can go a lot of different ways. Others will go out, and there'll be a chariot there that's really just like a limousine, because you can walk around in it and lay down and pray, praise God. Okay, so. So they'll say what happens when they get out of their body, just like Kenneth Hagin had something to say. But in this case, this doctor said, I was conscious, but I did not know who I was, where I was, or what I was doing. And he said later in the book, he said, I believe God did that because I had to have no identity, because his identity was a big deal to him. Okay? He said, when I had no identity, I had no expectations. So he said, when I came up, when I saw my surroundings, I didn't know what they were, but he said, I will describe it as murky and dirty jello. He said, I could feel all this stuff around me, and he said, after a while, I could feel some reptilian animals around me. Okay? And he said, some of them, when they came by me, they were going down under and sticking their heads up out of where they were at times. So up and down and up and down. And there was a big boom, boom, boom. It was metal going boom, boom, boom. And he said, it just stop with the drums. Okay? But it's keeping time, all right? And at some point, he said, I realized I don't belong here. What a thing to think. And he said, when I said that, I looked up, and there came a point of light toward me.
Light.
At the same time that all this is happening, this guy's family is praying for him.
All right, thank you, Jesus.
They're not only praying for him, nobody ever left him without somebody else taking his hand. One of his family members had his hand for 7 days, 24 hours a day. They would not let him go. They would not let him go. Okay? And I'm telling you, we have more power than you think we do when it comes to these things, because they knew it wasn't his time to go, and they knew they couldn't get through life without him, especially his kids.
Yeah.
He had a son in college, but he also had a 10-year-old son. And so he didn't want to go at all right, to, you know, into eternity yet. So they were praying for him. And so in his case, as the point of light was coming his direction, he was thinking, this is all impossible because my brain is dead. But I have more consciousness right now than any time in my entire life. I have a keener sense of things than I've ever had in my life. My mind is clearer than it's ever been. So my goodness, if there's one thing I can tell you, my consciousness was heightened, not destroyed.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm gonna close with this because it's going to blow your mind and cause you to think weird thoughts now for the rest of the day. Amen. This light got to him, and as he was trying to figure out what it was, he said, I saw the most beautiful being. I've ever seen in my life. And he said, it seemed like I was on a carpet. Somehow got to a carpet. And he said, I'm just saying, what is going on? And in an instant, he said, I knew that I needed to go up and meet that light. And he said, as soon as I thought it, I did it.
Amen.
Just poof, and I'm right there. And I'm beside this beautiful being. And this is where I'm going to stop. And this being said to him, you are loved with an unconditional love.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
You cannot do anything wrong here.
Whoa.
Because you have no capacity to do anything wrong.
Glory to God.
You have no ability to do any wrong here. And you will have to go back. And he said, at that moment, I looked and we went through a gate. And he said, as soon as we went through the gate out of that murky, mucky jello, he said, I knew we were flying. He was a flyer. He said, I knew we were flying. And he said, I'm looking at this being that was guiding us. And he said, I never paid any attention to this, but he said, we were flying on a butterfly. And he said, there were millions of butterflies everywhere. And he said, man, we're just flying over all these people down below us in this beautiful, beautiful landscaping. And he said, we're flying over this. And I'm going, I love this. I love to fly. Yeah. Woo!
Yeah.
And we'll pick up next week from here.
I don't think you should stop.
Yeah. But my clock says it's time to. Amen. So, Father, we thank you. We are loved unconditionally. Oh, my. God loves us so much that if we are having people pray for us and we're headed to hell, he'll turn us around. Once the gates close, it's over. But boy, when they're not closed yet, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And Father, we also have the ability to do no wrong ever again. We have that choice. We can live with a whole heart for God. And Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, we are so glad that we're looking forward to the day we leave this planet.
Yes, we are.
And if we're afraid to fly, God will just walk us up to heaven. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We love to fly. We'll get in the best chariot in town. Amen.
Yes.
So, Father, thank you so much for what you provided for us in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody that agreed said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Let's bless the people. Okay, if you'll stand up, we want to bless you. But I just want to say, how blessed I am that this prayer sheet is completely full in the next page. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are awesome saints, amen. Praise God, and we're going to meet people we're praying for in heaven, amen.
Amen.
Guys are awesome, praise amen. God.
Right
amen.
After we get done praying, as always, we're going to pray for people. But if you are here today and you're just having trouble in your life and you're just going, I just need somebody to really pray over me, then you come up after we're done with this prayer and we'll dismiss everybody. You come up, amen, wherever you are, you come up here and we will pray for you. So, Father, we're going to bless the people. Yes, you have called you, us and appointed us as the under-shepherds, under the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this fold. And, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that our friends and our brothers and sisters, they are blessed.
Yes, thank you,
we don't
Father.
Care what the circumstances
thank
of life
you,
are. They are blessed.
Yes.
They are loved unconditionally.
Yes. Yes.
They're blessed in their works. They're blessed in their families.
Yes.
They're blessed in their children's
That's
lives.
Right. That's right.
They're blessed, fathers, grandpas, and grandmas. They're blessed
thank
with
you,
health
Father.
And healing.
Yes.
They're blessed with
yes.
more
thank
than
you,
enough
Jesus.
In their finances.
Yes.
And, Father,
thank
we
you,
thank
Father
you
God.
Today. They will overcome.
Yes.
No matter what they're facing, and everybody's is facing something,
yes.
they will overcome
they will
by the blood
overcome.
Of the Lamb and the
yes.
word of their testimony.
Yes.
Father, we
thank
you for that, and Lord, we thank you today for those that are here with
yes.
a heavy load today, that we're going to help them get that load rolled over onto Jesus.
Yes, yes.
And Father, we thank you for blessing this wonderful time together.
Amen. And one last thing. We love each and every one of you. You're awesome. And those that volunteered this last year, please come Wednesday night. We want to bless you and let you know how much we appreciate you. Okay? God bless you. God bless you.